Very good afternoon to all. I think we can start. So as usual, we get Miss Lee to help us start the chanting of the Heart Sutta. We have to recite the homage first, followed by that.
Thank you, Brother Teo. Let's mindfully pay homage to Namo Sijia Bansi Moni Fo, Namo Guanzin Fusa, and we will chant three times Sing Ting. One time, sorry. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Guanzin Fusa.南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨。波耶婆罗蜜多心经，观自在菩萨行深波耶婆罗蜜多时，照见无问解空度一切苦厄，舍利子舍不异空，空不异舍，舍即是空，空即是舍，受想行识皆不如是。舍利子是诸法空相，不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明意，无无明净，乃至无老死意，无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智意，无得已，无所得故，菩提萨埵依般苦，婆罗蜜多故，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃，三世诸佛依般苦，婆罗蜜多故，得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般苦，婆罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实苦虚，故说般苦，婆罗蜜多咒。即所昼夜揭谛揭谛婆罗揭谛婆罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
萨埵，萨埵，萨埵，萨埵。Okay, we will start the Theravada Puja. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchamiDutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhaparang Samadhiyami Adinadana ViramaniSikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kami Sumichachara Brahmani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiSuramiraya Majjhapamadhana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu 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 Okay, pay homage to all the worthy ones. Okay, just relax yourself, then we will start. You have to refer to the short notes, I think Sister Lee is giving out. We will go through the short notes, then after that, we will go into the Heart Sutta proper. Sister Lee, you got another copy? Okay. Somebody have to lend me a copy. Pass me back a copy. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Very good afternoon to all. We will start the Heart Sutta class, and we will begin by going through the short notes. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. So this was based on what we discussed last week, last Sunday, on the 1st of April 2012. Part 1 is recap on the previous lessons note. So here, we were actually quite fortunate, because Sister Lee has helped to take down some short notes. Then I went through it, then I summarized it. So what we went through was this. I actually emphasized on the following. So gratitude emphasized on the importance of understanding the following. So you together try to develop the deeper understanding of what we actually went through last week. The first one is, this is a very common mistake and common problem among cultivator and meditator. We have to understand what is meditation. But most of the time, cultivator overlook this point. They have this tendency to ask, can you teach me how to meditate? So that is where the problem is. If you want to learn anything, you have to understand that thing before you learn it. You cannot just ask people to teach you how to do that thing if you don't even understand what that is, especially meditation. So it's actually a wrong question when you ask, teach me how to meditate. Because the first appropriate question is, understand what is meditation. Then you will know how to meditate. Then whatever instruction that is given, that one are just instruction. Understand? That one is nothing to do with meditation. The instruction are the various skillful means or object of meditation that teachers or cultivator use to help the student or to help those who are seeking how to develop the meditation. So the methods and the technique that you expect people to tell you, that is not the meditation. Understand? Those are only the instruction. Because methods and technique are a series of instruction to do meditation, but it's not the meditation. It's actually a series of instructions to train your mind, to anchor your mind to the object of meditation and all those things. Then sometimes they may use it to explain certain things. So if they use it to explain, then it's no more a method and a technique. They will describe to you what meditation is. Then you can learn from there. Okay? So now I will go through, then you develop the understanding. So the importance of understanding what is meditation is very important. So that we understand what we are doing in the name of meditation. And this will keep us in focus always. Because if you do not understand what is meditation, you can do the wrong thing. Like what we went through last Sunday. When something happened in the meditation, you lost your focus. You forgot why you meditate. And you forgot what is meditation. And you forgot what is it that you are doing in the name of meditation. So you get actually misled by what happened. The common example is when the hindrance of mind appear, like pain, numbness or whatever, or restlessness or irritation. So the cultivator, if they lost focus, they don't understand what is meditation and the two-step involved, they will tend to develop the ill will or aversion towards the state of mind that arise. So when that arise, it become a hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why you have problem continuing your meditation. So once you understand that, you are focused. You say, the purpose of me now sitting and developing this meditation is to train the mind. Once the mind is trained, I can use it to meditate. So you have to focus back. How do I train the mind? To train the mind, I don't have to force the hindrance to go away, understand? I have to develop the understanding of how this hindrance come to be. So when I understand how it come, I will know how to resolve it, reverse it. I don't have to do anything. So the next important point to understand is there are two steps involved in the development of meditation as taught by the Buddha. This is to put in writing so that easy for you to understand. The first step is to train the mind to be heedful. We are using a skillful means or object of meditation to anchor the mind in awareness or mindfulness so that the mind is relaxed, aware, silent and mindful within. So this one is clear, Okay? So this is the first step. Just to train the mind. That's why they give you object of meditation so that you can anchor your awareness there so that the mind does not wander off. It does not heedlessly think or get lost in the thinking. So this mind that is aware does not think. That's why it becomes heedful. So that is the first step. So when you understand this is the primary concern or responsibility that you are trying to develop, then you will not be deceived by what happened. You just focus on training your mind. Once it's trained, then the second step. Then the second step is to make use of this trained mind. The mind that is trained is silent, centered, aware and relaxed within, isn't it? So now the second step is to make use of this trained mind, because it's trained, that's why it's in silent awareness, to see things as they are, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely the cultivation of the daily mindfulness or sati sampajana, the four foundations of mindfulness, the three turnings of the four noble truths, and the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So you will have this very clear understanding because you understand what meditation is. Meditation is to cultivate and train the mind in silent awareness to see things as they are so that the wisdom can arise. So when you start to do that, you are actually cultivating the Buddha Dharma, because to see things as they are will allow you to have this mindfulness to develop the sati sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement or activity within your daily life. Then at the same time, when you have the silent awareness, you can also cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Then when you have this silent mind, you can reflect and contemplate and develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha via his three turning. The first turning is listening. Second turning is to reflect and contemplate on what you have heard. Then the third turning is, of course, meditative, bhavana, meditation. So the third turning is always cultivate the meditation, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So when this is clear, you will know what to do during meditation. So you will not get yourself distracted or debated. The third point that you must develop the understanding is the importance of meditation is to realize the state of enlightenment that is beyond thought. THOUGHT, and beyond time. Time here means thinking, psychological time. That is the reason why the Buddha said the Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means the timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So akaliko is a Pali word. Then the fourth point that you must understand is thought-based meditation is limited to the field of thought. Hence, it cannot free our mind or lead to a state of realization that is beyond thought and beyond time. Because the moment of thought is actually psychological time. You understand, huh? The moment you think, you are trapped in psychological time. So when you use thought to meditate, when you use thought to understand the sutta and come up with the method and the technique, and you use the thought to note, to do the meditation, you cannot realize a state that is beyond thought because you are actively using thought. Understand not? So the Buddha, under the salutation to the Dhamma, he already explained very clearly. The Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, beyond psychological time. So the moment you use thought, psychological time has arisen. Understand? So the instrument you use to develop the meditation is totally incorrect. Understand? Because the instrument you use is thought-based. That's why you cannot realize a state that is beyond thought, because you start with the wrong tool. So in order to realize that state, the Buddha said, you must train your mind to be heedful. What is heedfulness? Heedfulness is mindfulness, understand not? Without thought. That's why you must have the silent mind to meditate, not using thought to meditate. So this is a very important understanding. If you understand this, it saves you a lot of time to develop the meditation. If you can't understand this, you can be trapped for many, many years. Sometimes 20, 30, 40 years, still using thought. If you read through the Platform Sutta, Liu Zhu Tan Jing, the Platform Sutta by Hui Ning, it is a very beautiful sutta. You look at how Sun Xiu, he was trapped. Because most of what he has developed and understood is thought-based. He is very near to enlightenment. He is at the gateway of enlightenment. But he don't understand what that true mind is, what Nibbana is, what enlightenment is. That's why he is trapped there. Very pitiful case. And for so many years, even such a great monk can be trapped. But finally, when he sent one of his disciples there to find out what Hui Ning teach, do you all know the story or not? You all heard of the story, But some Theravada one, I think they haven't. You are lucky because just now before we came, that's why you are a little bit late. One of the Dharma friends, sister, I think she is among us, She is from Mandarin educated. She doesn't understand English that well. So she brought the Heart Sutta and the Platform Sutta. She wanted to ask me long time already. So she brought this Liu Chu Tan Jing, Platform Sutta in Mandarin. Then she asked me, it was somewhere in chapter 8. Then there was the condition, I took out the English translation because my Mandarin is hopeless, totally useless. So when I took out the translation I read, then I saw this part. Actually, there is one part in chapter 8. It was mentioned, since you, after the fifth patriarch passed away, after many years, you remember, Hui Ning went into seclusion with the hunters for 15 years plus. Then he came out. Then people recognized him and he became the teacher, very famous, but in the south. In the south, they call it the barbarian. In the north, they are called the learned. So during that time, there was a lot of this talking going on. One is the officially appointed by fifth patriarch, means Hui Ning is the official sixth patriarch. But the other one is the official appointed abbot that took over from the fifth patriarch. So there are now two teachers from fifth patriarch teaching the Dhamma. So the disciple always argue because they tend to cite their own teacher. So the north one say their teacher is good, better. Because the south one, he say that Hui Ning, not educated, they are not from the learned and all those things. But the south one, after they learn from Hui Ning, they say, the north one, they don't understand the true Dhamma. That's why the patriarchate was given to Hui Ning. So there was this conflict. So one day, Sun Xiu, together with the disciple, he heard some of the disciples say this, talk about the southern one, not so pleasant. So Sun Xiu by then, he knew there is a big gap between him and sixth patriarch Hui Ning, because the fifth patriarch told him before Hui Ning was given the abbotship, or not abbotship, the patriarchship. You remember he told Sun Xiu, you have not realized the true mind. That's why I give you a second chance, is it? If you can come up with another poem and prove that you have the understanding, I will pass you the patriarchship. But then before he can do that, Hui Ning wrote another poem, you remember? Then that condition triggered off. That night, he hinted to Hui Ning to come. That's why the patriarchship was given away. So, since you knew the master already hinted to him that Hui Ning is better than him, Hui Ning have realized. So he told this disciple of his, I think it's Zhang Zi, or I forgot the name. Just now only we were discussing it. So anyway, this disciple, Sun Xiu, told him, you cannot talk that way, he said. Because he just told this disciple, if he is no good, my master, the fifth patriarch, will not give the patriarchship to him. He must have realized something that is beyond me. He said. So he tell this disciple, he said, you are one of the best among my disciples. You go there, he said. You go to the south, go to his temple, like a spy. Go there and listen. Then come back and tell me what's the difference between my teaching and his teaching so that we can learn from him. That was the discussion. So this disciple actually wanted to go a long time ago, but dare not seek the permission because he scared the teacher angry. I think Sun Xiu also more or less can sense it. That's why he said, no problem, you can go. But it's like putting it in a very nice way. So that you can go and find out, because you are one of the best of Sun Xiu disciples. So this disciple went. And you know what happened? Really? The condition arise. So in that assembly, this Hui Ning, he straight away knew. He said there is a thief among our Sangha. He doesn't want to start the Dhamma session that day. Then when he mentioned that, this disciple of Sun Tzu straight away knew it was referring to him. Then he straight away come out and admitted. But he said, I am no thief. You know what he mean or not? He said, I'm not a thief. Then the sixth patriarch asked him, why do you say you're not a thief? You already admitted. He said, before I admitted, I was a thief. The moment I admit, I'm no thief. I'm telling you openly, I'm coming here. So he was also right. So sixth patriarch said, okay, very good. What do you want to find out? He said, what is it that you want to find out and your purpose for coming here? So he very direct, this disciple, he said, I can't understand certain point in the Dhamma, he said. Then he talked about how to cultivate the Sila, Samadhi and Panya, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. Then Hui Ning asked him back, how do you practice? What did your teacher Sun Tzu teach you? So he explained how Sun Tzu teach him. The normal one that he got. Oh, the sixth patriarch said, very good. So this disciple thought, oh, the teacher correct. But then Hui Ning add one more sentence. Because the student want to know, how do you teach? He asked the sixth patriarch, I want to know what is your teaching like. Means your understanding of it. He said, what your teacher teaches you is very good. But what I teach here is different from what he teaches. Your teacher one cater for the normal cultivation, he said. What he teach one is to go and become Buddha, he said. Because he seek only Buddhahood. You remember? He told the fifth patriarch, nothing else but Buddhahood. So he said, what he have understood and teach is to let all these great cultivator to gain the Buddhahood. Means the great Bodhisattva. He can teach the great Bodhisattva and realize Buddhahood. So because of that, this student of his become very excited and seek his clarification. Oh, then the exchange was very good. We don't have the time, huh? Some other time. If you got time for the sixth patriarch platform sutta, maybe later on we go through it. It's very interesting. Anyway, to cut the matter short, after this disciple understood, I think he went back and let Sun Tzu know. I haven't read the rest, that's why I cannot talk to you. She asked me only until there, then I explained, finish. Okay, so that is for your added info. If you want to find out more, you go and read yourself. Then if you don't understand, you can ask me. Okay, the next point that you need to understand is diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. This one I think everybody know. The five spiritual faculties is written on the board there. You need this. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. You cannot receive the Buddha's teaching. And you cannot meditate. Because these five spiritual faculty are very important. When your faith is there, your mind is very calm and very composed. And when you put to test the teaching of the Buddha, when you investigate into it, you realize it's so beautiful, so meaningful. And it is so true. So that's why your faith becomes strengthened. Then you have this what they call intention to go this way, to follow the Buddha's advice and to cultivate his teaching. That's how your virya come to be. Your virya become very strong. Then after you have virya, your meditation progress very fast. Because when you have this spiritual tenacity or zeal to cultivate, when you are very serious about the cultivation and understanding the Buddha Dhamma, because you see the importance and beauty of it, sati will arise, mindfulness will arise. Because the moment you train your mind, you will become mindful, heedful, aware, within, silent. That's why you can meditate. Then when sati is developed, when it's stabilized, samadhi will be there. Yeah. With sati and samadhi, you will have this ability to see things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So that's how the last spiritual faculty, panya, wisdom, keep on arising. So the five spiritual faculty is key. Without this, the seven factors of enlightenment cannot arise. Meditation cannot progress. So make very, very clear note of this point. So as long as you can cultivate the five spiritual faculty, then whatever you do is meditation. Understand? Last Saturday was very interesting. There was one new lady who came. After the class, she asked me, "Brother Teo," because she thought meditation is only Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path, five spiritual faculties. Then she cannot link, you know. She asked me one question. "What about those who believe in chanting, is it? They only chant. Can they also become enlightened? What do you think?" Why you shake your head, say cannot? It can. What is chanting? Chanting is to develop what? You anchor your mind to the four how. You know what is four how not? The Buddha's name or Bodhisattva's name, all that chanting. That's why the Buddha teach you what? If you meditate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha, what do? You also chant, is it? Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. But with understanding, with clarity, understand not? When you do that, what do you develop? The faith, understand? The sadha, the virya, because you recall to mind the great nine virtues of the Buddha. Understand not? Then when you chant with clarity and mindfulness, sati and virya is developed. That's why the spiritual faculty is there. And then, after that, the Dhamma will come in. Understand not? The wisdom will arise. No different. It's how you understand meditation. As long as whatever you do, bring about the five spiritual faculty, sati is most important. When there is sati, when there is sadha and virya, samadhi will arrive. Then you see things as they are. Panya, wisdom will arrive. Then all the factors of enlightenment will arrive. That's why meditation is not what you think. Don't be rigid. Don't be dogmatic. Whatever you do, as long as it can bring about the training of the mind to have this five spiritual faculty, that is meditation. Understand? Because with this five spiritual faculty, you can cultivate the four noble truths. You can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. You can cultivate the noble eightfold path. You can develop the awareness of your mental intention. And you can see how your mind become what it is. All this is linked. Understand? That's why when you understand, Dhamma is everywhere. Anything can bring about the meditation. That's why the Mahayana say there are 84,000 Dhamma door. You heard of it? Pa Wan Si Qian Fa Men. There is no such thing as, "Oh, you do this, you cannot become enlightened." Because he understands what is meditation. So whatever he do, if he know how to develop it, it becomes meditation. Understand not? What is sati sampajana? Mindfulness and clear comprehension of every action, every movement in life. Understand not? So anything you do in life is meditation. Understand not? Life itself is meditation. That's why bowing is meditation. Walking is meditation. Understand not? Chanting is meditation. Provided you know what is meditation. But if you don't know what is meditation, you can do all those things without understanding. No point. Understand not? Means what? You only believe what people tell you. People ask you to note, you note. Use what to note, also you don't know. What is thought, what is mindfulness, what is beyond thought, all you don't know. You don't want to find out. You don't want to investigate. That's why you cannot develop the meditation. You can be doing the same thing. Understand? But you don't understand. That's why you do without understanding. Whereas a person who do with understanding, they transform. Understand? Or? I remember last time, a lot of people used to tell me, after I came out to share, I told them about one of my teacher, Achayantra, the Thai monk that came during the late 80s and early 90s. I said I learned so much thing from him. You know, there were many in the group that were together with me that time in Brickfield, also attended his class, understand, his session. They asked me, "Well, Theo, how come that time we were also there, we didn't hear anything? We didn't understand anything from him." You know why? They are doing the same thing, but without understanding. Whereas when I was there, I have the understanding. I only need some truth, the reality, the truth about what mind is, and what are the key, important pointer to develop the wisdom. That's why he teach me only through a few words, very simple. The first one I remember is, he said, mind is mind, body is body. The body is never the mind is never the body, is it? We choose take care mind, is it? Your mind, M-I-N-D, M-I-N-D is not the other one, M-I-N-E, That's why I want to be very clear, because sometimes people same pronunciation, the word wrong. He said, we choose take care mind, means what? Exactly like what the Buddha said, your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises because of the mind. So I realized, he said, take care mind. Oh, very important. Then he said, the body is important too. Because the body and mind, that actually become an entity, together with the karmic force, the three conditions create this human being. Understand? That's why it's condition arising. Then he said the body is important too, because the mind and the body must harmonize. This mind, when you are born, because of karma, is trapped inside, understand? So whatever happened to this body, your mind experiences it, understand? So it's afflicted together. If there is no wisdom, you suffer. If there is wisdom, you don't have to. So he said the mind and the body must harmonize. So the body is important too, but you don't cling, is it? You just understand it. You need to use this body to help you to cultivate, understand? Just like what Sun Tzu realized. He said, our body is like a Bodhi tree, understand? You know what is a Bodhi tree? Tree of enlightenment. Because the four foundation of mindfulness, you need this body, understand? The first foundation is the form, kaya. How can you cultivate kaya nupassana? Mindfulness of the body. You cannot without this form. Then feeling also arises at the sense door. Upon contact, vedana, feeling come to be. The second foundation, vedana upasana. You also need this form. Understand? The third one is the citta, the consciousness. Also you need this form to arise. Then the last one is the dhamma. All of dhamma is within nature, within this form too. So when you understand, it becomes very clear. Then you realize what the Buddha said is so true. He said, within this phantom length body, along with mindfulness, perception and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation of this world. You know what is the meaning or not? The Four Noble Truths, understand? What is the world? The world is all of your life, your existence, understand? All that your mind creates is your world, understand? That's why all of the suffering inside there, that's why he said within this phantom length body, together with mindfulness, perception and thought, I proclaim the world, means the noble truth of suffering, the cause of arising of this world. That the cessation of this world, the mind, and the path that lead to this cessation. Means the Four Noble Truth you can realize from this phantom length body. That's how Sun Tzu say in the poem very beautifully. That's why those who understand sincere poem also not bad. That's why the fifth page says, learn, follow, recite, practice or cultivate. But he knew this type of instruction is very good for normal cultivation and so on. But to realize the ultimate wisdom, you need to let go of the thought, that mind. You need to understand the true mind, which Hui Ning was not able to. He was clinging on to the pure mind. Understand? The pure mind in awareness, which is the highest, the present moment. If you cling to the present moment, you cannot free. You know why? The present moment is still thought. Understand? Still within the field of thought. That's why the Mahayana teaching is very good. You heard of this or not? From Quang Ching Lao He Sang. He has a very beautiful saying. During the early day when I heard his Dhamma talk through his disciple, 1980 something, you know what he said or not? Guo qi xing bu ke de. You know the meaning, eh? The mind of the past is already gone. It's not a reality, understand or not? Wei lai xing ye bu ke de. Means the mind of the future has yet to come, also not a reality. And the third one, do you know what he said or not? 现在心也不可得. Even the moment is also not a reality. Suddenly, like, you wake up. So beautiful, understand or not? What is enlightenment? What is enlightenment? To the Mahayana, you know what is enlightenment or not? Even Theravada is the same. To go beyond what? Birth and death, granted. When you are enlightened, you don't need to be reborn, is it? When you go beyond birth and death, you got no more suffering, is it? Granted. So, when you are with the moment, it's the highest in life. But this is still life, understand? The moment is still within the field of thought, understand? Although it's the highest in life. So in order to transcend life, you must transcend even the moment. Understand? That's why the present moment is not the enlightenment yet. A lot of people are so absorbed with present moment. That's why you read those books, Eckhart Tolle. He is very good, don't get me wrong. The Power of the Now. You read about it, you heard about it. A very good book. But he understands, Eckhart Tolle understands. But don't be deceived by the title, The Power of the Now, thinking that the present moment is the highest. Highest within the field of thought, yes. Because no thought. When you are in the present moment in awareness, there is no thought. But it's still a mind. Sensu is caught in this mind, the present moment, awareness. He cannot break the duality. The mind cannot cease. Understand? That's why he cannot breakthrough. That's why he is not worthy of the patriarchship. So this is a very important understanding. When you understand this, you understand the profound Buddha Dharma, the true teachings of all the Buddhas. Okay? Any question? So far it's clear. Don't worry. Recorded. So you can listen to it. First time, not easy, I tell you. But the moment you understand what I said today, I congratulate you. I rejoice. If you really understand, you sure, no more problem. So listen to it again. Cultivate, then listen again. It is very beautiful. Either or, there is condition for things to happen. Because of all the days, this Dhamma friend lady, she brought the book today. She has already been telling me she want to ask me for many, many weeks already. She said, every time cannot remember, every time cannot remember. Then today she brought the book. Then we had lunch together. Then she asked me, then I explained. That's how the condition come about. And I have this short note also linked to it. That's why I share with you. It's meant to be. Okay, you don't have any question, we continue. Number 5. diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties. Now you understand the significance, huh? Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it brings you back to the Noble Eightfold Path and the five spiritual faculties, you are developing the meditation. Understand or not? If the hindrance of mind already not there, you are meditating. If the hindrance of mind are there, it hinders you from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why there is no meditation. Understand or not? So, understanding, diligently, I use the word, huh? Cultivate the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya to overcome the five hindrances of mind, which is sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness and lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. It's very important. Huh? Get this right. Then the next one is the danger of having self-delusion and not comprehending what Sakkayaditti is or self-delusion is. This is the most important, I tell you. If you can see the danger in delusion, means you are on the path, you are very heedful. Understand? If you cannot see the danger of self-delusion, you are really heedless. And if you are heedless, what did the Buddha say? Huh? You are as if dead, spiritually dead. The spiritual life is gone. That's why I put it in another way. If you can see the importance of seeing the danger of having self-delusion, you wake up. Understand? Because if you are deluded, means you are heedless. You don't care. You simply do things. So self-delusion is very dangerous. That's why quickly understand who you are, what you are. Do not allow this delusion to condition your selfishness, your egoic mind, to own, to possess, to cling, to hold, to grasp to everything that you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile, feel, and think. All this that arise, the sense of consciousness, within that consciousness, the content, is the four aggregate of mind. Together with the consciousness is the five aggregate. If you cling and grasp to any of these five aggregate, delusion is there, Sakkayaditti is there. So simple. Yeah. So if you see the danger of that, you better develop your Saddha and Virya and cultivate. Diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Diligently cultivate the training of the mind to be heedful. Then diligently meditate to become enlightened. Otherwise you suffer. Not only this life, life after life. So the moment you have this understanding, and when you see that there is condition for you to cultivate, you better do so. Just like the Mahayana, they always said, "Zhen sheng nan de, fo fa nan wen." You heard of this or not? Zhen sheng, the human body, is very rare, very difficult to have. When you have this condition, this life to be a human being, and at the same time, you can come into contact with the Buddha Dharma. Fo fa is Buddha Dharma. Nan wen is very difficult to come across. Understand? Or? Now you can have the chance to become a human being and have the Dhamma. Means the Buddha Sasana is there. And such conditions are very rare. If you miss this window, I tell you, I don't know how long you have to wait. It can be aeons and aeons. That's why you don't see the danger of this. Only those who have the understanding will see the danger of all this. How foolish living beings are. When the opportunity is there, you cannot understand. It's just like that merchant, you remember? When Sakyamuni Buddha became enlightened, before he met the five ascetics, he met one merchant. I tell you, what a waste. He saw the Buddha so radiant, so calm and so peaceful. So he was drawn to the Buddha. Then he asked one question. "May I know who your teacher is?" because he didn't ask the appropriate question. He only interested in people's teacher. Understand? Then if the teacher is someone famous, he believe. Understand? Then he wants to become a disciple or take refuge. But the Buddha spoke the truth. He said, I got no teacher. Did he lie? He actually got two before him, Alara and Udaka. But those are not the teacher that make him enlightened, understand? That's why he said, after he awakened, he said, I got no teacher. Which is true. And this merchant thought, ayo, this person very arrogant, understand? Very proud. He said he got no teacher. That's why he looked at him, he laughed, he would walk away. People make aspiration to be born during the Buddha Sasana. You got a chance to meet the Buddha face on. You cannot recognize. And you just laugh and walk away. You ask yourself, how pitiful. If you say he very pitiful, you look at yourself, pitiful. Born as a human being with the Buddha Sasana, have the condition, and yet you let it slip past. You are not too far away from him. Understand? That's what I say. When you see the danger, when you understand how fortunate you are, how blessed you are, if the opportunity come, and these are very rare, understand? You know how rare is it to become a human being or not? The Buddha gave the analogy under the Theravada tradition. He said, let's say there's an eggshell. You break the opening on one end, slightly bigger than the turtle egg head, the head of the turtle, is it? You throw it into the ocean. Then this turtle, every 100 years, surface once. The probability of this turtle, the head, hitting that eggshell with the head went into that opening. You ask yourself, what is your probability? Every 100 years only come out once. And the ocean is so wide. And for the turtle to hit, that is the probability of becoming a human being. Some of you will not agree, you say. Cannot be, brother Teo, you say. I want to have a child. I go and get married. I create one already. Why you say so difficult? Because you don't understand the Buddha Dharma. The probability here means in relation to the numbers. Understand? You know there are so many living beings. You know how much living beings are not? The human beings are very, very small number, do you know? Not? The non-human, the hell beings are so much more than you, understand? Not? Then you look at the ants, the insects, so many of them. Then you look at all the microorganisms, the small life forms, so many of them. That's why you don't understand. Compared to these numbers, the living being's percentage is so small. That's why I say the probability is like this turtle, 100 years come out once. So a lot of these things, when you understand, you will never do. You will never do. You will never be foolish again. So your life, you decide how you want to live. You decide how you want to actually make use of it. Don't blame others for not informing you. Never say, the Buddha never explained this clearly. At least now you hear about it. Okay, we go on. Okay, number 7. Importance of using mindfulness to observe and understanding how the mind stir and get conditioned into mental thinking or activity, leading to all the emotion and reaction of mind to sense experience that condition one's suffering. This is very important. That's why you must train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful. And it's very important to use this mindfulness or silent mind to observe and see things as they are. And develop the understanding. Because when you observe and see things as they are, you will be able to understand how your mind stirs, how you are conditioned into negativity and emotion, how upon contact of mind, the sense experience come to be, then you deludedly grasp onto it. You react and become emotional. So this is how you stir the mind. And this mind, after it gets stirred, it gets conditioned into mental thinking or activity. Then it will condition your craving. The dependent origination will come to be. So emotion is craving. Reaction is craving. Positive and negative. So when you understand this, you will appreciate the Mahayana famous verse, Qi Xing Dong Nian. You remember last week we went through? Qi Xing, Xing is mind. When you arise the mind, Sankara come to be, Nian Tou, thinking come to be. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arise, everything come to be. So the mind stir because of what? You create thinking. You arise a thought. You arise a mind. You react. You become emotional. Otherwise, it won't stir. So this is very important. The arising of mind creates thinking. Hence, stirring the mind comes to be. Or in the Theravada term is avijja paccaya sankhara. You know what is avijja? Delusion. Or ignorance. So ignorance condition sankhara. What is sankhara? Activity of mind, thinking, mental volition, mental intention, mental emotion, everything that your mind can do. So ignorant condition activity of mind, the first dueling of the paticca samuppada or dependent origination. So you can understand this, you can develop a lot of wisdom. Then when you meditate, very fast you break through. That's why these notes are very important. Then number 8. This is to really, really explain to you a final time. If after this explanation you still cannot understand, I also don't know what to do with you. Like the Buddha say, you use your tongue against your palate. Then you determine to abandon it. You listen, number 8. Originally, before the stirring, the mind is already in a meditative state of peace, silent and still awareness within. Agree or not? Your original mind, before you become angry, you were peaceful, isn't it? Happy, isn't it? When you don't have a thought, you got no fear, no worry, no anxiety, isn't it? You are peaceful, isn't it? You are silent, isn't it? You are aware, isn't it? But the trouble is you never train your mind. That's why you don't have a situation where you are without thought. Understand? So that's why you must train your mind to be in sati, heedful, so that you can be silent without thought. When there is no more thought, it's so beautiful. No thought means what? No thought means no fear. No fear means no suffering. Understand? No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no unhappiness, none of any of this negative state. So because of that, you are peaceful, you are relaxed, you are aware and silent with it. You are so beautiful. But you cannot have this because you never train your mind. You never develop the spiritual faculty. You never meditate to develop the wisdom. That's why you cannot become silent. You think a lot. You create a lot of stirring of the mind. You got a lot of ignorance. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Everything also you kipo and see something also want to react. Hear something also want to react and comment. Think something also want to comment. That's why you never silent. Okay? So now you understand, you will appreciate what is written here. Originally, before the stirring, the mind is already in a meditative state of peace, silent and still awareness within. So the stirring of mind only comes about when we do not have the wisdom and understanding of this fundamental principle of the original mind or the true mind. Then through our own delusion or ignorance, we cause our mundane mind or thinking mind to arise, hence the stirring. Via our reaction to sense experience at every moment of sense or consciousness. So train the mind to have this silent inner awareness and clarity to see all this clearly. Then there is no more delusion. Hence understanding via let things be will arise. And with this understanding, tranquility will return by not trying to do anything. We are using the thought to suppress or control. Understand or not? Thought-based meditation, they want to do something to do away with the anger, understand or not? And suppress the desire, the craving and all those things. Because you think anger is no good. So when people disturb you, the next time you yan. You go and suppress. Because you don't understand. Originally, already peaceful. So why you want to yan? You just understand. Don't stir. You only need wisdom. No need to yan. The true yan comes from wisdom. When I got wisdom, I won't stir. That is the real patience. But not the patience that the mind tells you. No, I cannot get angry. I must not have anger. So I must yan. I must have patience. Yeah, you use thought to meditate. Thought based. So the thought say I must have patience. That's how you suppress. Understand not? But when you understand with wisdom, there is no word. The understanding just free you. The moment you understand, no need to yan. Understand not? Just understand all. As long as I have wisdom, I am not deluded, my mind will not stir. Understand not? Then I won't get angry. Understand not? Correct not? So the moment you don't get angry, you don't have to yan, is it? You only yan because you don't have wisdom. That's why you suppress, you control. Understand or not? And this is so clear. But human being cannot understand. Cultivator, meditator cannot understand. Pitiful or not? Very pitiful. Don't laugh. You also went through. So now you understand, you can laugh. You got any question? No, huh? I saw that lady put up the hand. You are not asking question, huh? Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, okay. It's okay. Recorded, no problem. So you wait till the time when you can understand, you listen again. Okay. We go to the next slide. Always remember. That is, just be patient to maintain the silent mind with clear inner awareness and let everything return to its original state before its stirring. The third way that the Buddha teach you, understand? Just silent your mind, aware, relax and let things be. The mind will become quiet again. Means, do not react, do not do anything. Just be patient. Understand? Don't try to do anything with the thought. Here patience is not yan. Here patience is with wisdom. You know, if I don't go and react, I don't stir, I don't get angry, then everything will slow down by itself. It will become peaceful by itself. So I don't have to do anything. I just silent. Patiently relax and let things be. Then everything will fall back to the original state. Will return to its original state before its stirring. Always remember, when there is no delusion or ignorance, then there is no stirring of the mind. Understand not? So it's the wisdom you must cultivate. When you have that, no need to yan, no need to suppress anymore. Understand not? So wisdom free. That's why I wrote down. Only wisdom frees the mind. That is, the moment you have wisdom, your mind will not stir. And you are free. So no need to do anything after that. Because thing is just the way it is. Suchness. Or ta-ta-ta. Yeah. And this word, I think, some of you don't understand. That's why in our Tuesday class, we came across this word and I asked. Most of you don't understand. That's why I had to explain. And it was so... we are so fortunate. Yeah? Because I clicked on the internet, suddenly come out. All the explanation was there. So the note down there is the explanation from the internet. It is quite good. Tatha means thus in Sankara. In Sanskrit and Pali. And Buddhist thought take this to refer to what is called reality as it is. Yatta Bhutanang. This reality is also referred to as tasness or suchness, tatata, anasana. So the Buddha sometimes they address him as the Tathagata. You remember? The Tathagata. Yeah. The Tathagata is a person who is an expert in tatata, anasana, in suchness. So indicating simply that it really is what is. Or the isness of thing means suchness, the reality. A Buddha or an Arahant is defined as someone who knows and sees things as it is or as they are. Yatta betanang nyana dasana. Nyana is wisdom, insight. Dasana is direct vision. So direct vision and knowledge of the reality. That's why yatta buta nyana dasana. Then gata means tathagata. The gata means gone. It's the past passive participle of the verb root come or go travel. So agata means come. It's the past passive principle of the verb meaning come or arrive. Thus in this interpretation, tathagata means literally either the one who has gone to suchness or the one who has arrived at suchness. So this is just to further explain so that you can understand. Okay, part two. We have to go through a bit faster. Otherwise, we cannot cover. Oh. Wow, so fast. 4:15. Okay, I will try to finish this. Maybe today we cut short the meditation a bit. Okay, part two, the Heart Sutta. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajnaparamita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately Nirvana. Here, distorted dream thinking means delusion, condition, inverted thinking. This is to explain to you. So, distorted dream thinking means because you are deluded. So, the delusion condition your inverted thinking, upside down. In Mahayana, the Mandarin word is better. Tian Tao, yes, very good. Tian Tao. Whatever you think is the truth, and the ultimate truth to the wise one is the other way around. That's why whatever that appears logical to you doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. It's always the other way around. Truth is most of the time the other way around. Okay. So recite it like this. Gate gate parasamgate. Parasamgate bodhisattva. Oh sorry. Gate gate paragate. Parasamgate bodhisattva. Here prajna or prajna paramitas means the perfection of wisdom cultivation. And anuttara samyat samyut sambhogi means the perfection of Buddhahood. So this one, the meaning is very beautiful. So this is even more beautiful. Okay, then we go to the next one. This is all about the Heart Sutta, very difficult to understand, but I try to explain to you. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no mental activity and consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, tongue, body and mind, no sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile and mental form. No feel of the eye up to and including no feel of mind consciousness and no ignorant or ending of ignorant up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no cause of arising of suffering, no extinction of suffering or cessation of suffering and no noble eightfold path. And no understanding and attaining. So this verse appear like very contradictory to your normal Dhamma, the Dhamma that is normally taught to you. Hence, the beauty and uniqueness of the Heart Sutta. That's why I told you, you will have inverted view, Tian Tao. This is the meaning. because it appears so contradictory to you. Because this is ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is the other way around. Yeah. What you say is right at that level is wrong at another level. That's why Sensu and Huining, they cannot agree. Understand now? To Huining is all the way correct. Right. Follow the Buddha's advice. But at the level of Sensu, at the level of Huining, you have not penetrated the true mind. That's why you are still stuck. You have not liberated. So, very different at another level. So this one is at the perfection of wisdom level. That's why it's so different. So, reason why it is always expressed as true emptiness is wonderful existence, because the Heart Sutta is so wonderful. That is able to understand the profound true emptiness as taught in the Heart Sutta. Then existence and life become wonderful and very meaningful and beautiful. Hence there is no contradiction, because on the one side is taught the conditioned Dhamma, understand not? Within the conditioned world, then there is the realization of the unconditioned Dhamma, which is the understanding of true emptiness as taught by the Heart Sutta. So the unconditioned Dhamma is explained by the Buddha is beyond thought and beyond time. Hence, no word, no concept, no idea, and no this and no that, which implies cannot be spoken or expressed like the great Tao. The Tao that can be talked about and described is not the true Tao, understand now? So all this is the same when you understand. Okay, part 2, meditation. Bratio conducted a review on the compilation of the email notes as written by him to various Buddhist group and Dhamma friends in the early years, with the title "Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha," so as to enable the cultivator of the Buddha Dhamma to have a better understanding of the key or important Dhammas as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. So this is the book, very important. You go back and read; it will help you a lot. So I have listed them down as a guide to help you understand. They are importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, 2 and 183, verse 21, 22 and 23, and the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before his final parinibbana. You know what is parinibbana? He's passing away. They don't say he died. Parinibbana, he enters the nibbana or he realizes nibbana. So this one is very important. These verses are classified under the words of wisdom of the Buddha immediately after the content, introduction and acknowledgement section. You go and read about it. I have already explained many times. If you cannot understand, listen to the tape again. Then the second one is the importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaf, as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa group over 2,500 years ago to the monk, then so as to enable them to stay focused in the cultivation. Otherwise, the chance of deviation is very high and probable. If you are not focused within the Four Noble Truths, you can get into deviation and trouble. If you go and do all those concentration meditation, then you get caught because it doesn't bring you back to the what they call spiritual faculty. It does not bring you back to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, the wisdom to free. It does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. So you have to be careful. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. No. It's only through the understanding of the Four Noble Truths that you can become enlightened. No. The third point is the importance of understanding what is meditation. This one I already explained just now. Then you are lucky because in the note, email number 2 and 3, I have explained it some more. You go and read through it. That one elaborate more. Then the last one is the importance of developing the three type of correspondent wisdom of Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya that will arise via cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, as taught by the Buddha via his first sermon, the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta. It's all described under email number 4. Today I will go through with you. Okay, we finished the notes. Then now we can start the Heart Sutta. Then Sister Lee has requested, I think it's very good. He said, we will chant the opening verse as a mark of respect. We will chant our homage to our original teacher. Namo Sakyamuni Buddha. I will chant the English one. Then after that, maybe we also chant Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Okay. Maybe I chant in Mandarin easier. Okay, calm your mind down, compose yourself, then we will chant. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. The meaning is homage to the original Buddha, Sakyamuni. Okay? Then we chant Namo Kuan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Kuan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Kuan Si Ying Pusa. Homage to the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. That is the meaning. Okay, the verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter. This is to remind you. In hundreds of millions of aeons, you see how long. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it. You have to commit yourself, understand or not? This is how the Mahayana train. That's why you see how far they go. You have to make that determination. And I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So you have this type of mind, this resolve and this aspiration. You can move very fast, you can go very fast. Okay, now we continue from where we stopped. Part 2, a general explanation of the title, because we finished the main sutta. So the main sutta, part 1, we have finished. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta, we finished. So now we go into the general explanation of the title. This one I will run through very quickly, because there is not much Dhamma there. It's just their style, Mahayana style of introducing you to the title, explain to you. Not so important. I will run through and we can skip it. The explanation of the Heart Sutta will be divided into two sections. A general explanation of the title and an explanation of the meaning of the text. The general explanation of the title will be further divided into a discussion of the sutta title and the discussion of the translator. There are 7 categories of title. Sorry, 7 categories of titles have been divided. What is this word? Device. Oh, sorry, not divide. Device. 7 category of title has been devised for the three treasure. You know what is the three treasure? Tipitaka. The three treasure. The Tipitaka. Your Tipitaka, you know. You got the three basket. What are they? Vinaya, Sutanta and Abhidhamma. Okay? The three basket. Vinaya is the monk's discipline. Sutanta is the sutta that the Buddha spoke. And the last one is the higher teaching, Abhidhamma. Under Mahayana, what do you all call Tipitaka? Tipitaka. No. All the teaching of the Buddha is kept under this three basket, the Tipitaka. How? 大藏经啊啊。There are the three basket, the Vinaya, the Suttanta, and the Abhidhamma.、Mm. Okay, we go through.、Huh? So they divide it into、huh? all this.、Huh? Don't have to remember,、huh? don't worry.、Huh? Unless you want to be an expert,、huh? and you want to share according to their tradition,、huh? then you do.Otherwise, don't have to remember.、Huh? The first kind of title refers exclusively to person.、Huh? The Buddha speaks of Amitabha Sutta. That is the example.、Huh? That type of title speaks to a particular person. Since both Sakyamuni Buddha and Amitabha Buddha are personage,、that is the first category.、Huh? Then the second one is Nirvana Sutta.、It's an example of the title which is determined exclusively by reference to Dhamma and Nirvana, which signify the Dhamma.、Mm. Dhamma Lakshana、mm. is used for its title.、Yeah. Okay. The third category is, in the third category are titles comprised of analogy, the Brahmanet Sutta.、Yeah?Is an example of the kind of title. The text of the sutta employs in this discussion of the precepts, the rules of moral conduct taught by the Buddha, the analogy of the cylindrical net curtain belonging to the king of the great Brahma heaven. The curtain is a manifestation of his adornment. All through the net curtains are holes.And in the empty space of each hole, there is the precious pearl, each the brightness and most valuable of all pearls. All the way around the precious pearl illuminate each other with light, and the emptiness interpenetrates. The precious pearl illuminate that precious pearl back and forth. That is what is meant by their illuminating each other.、Eh?This one is not important,、huh? it's just the way they categorize it.、Mm. Okay, the fourth one is... Oh, quite a long description now. Okay, I just read through it quickly.、Huh? Your light illumination my light, and my light illuminate yours. However, the light does not oppose one another. One of them is incapable of saying,Keep your light out of my light, or I don't want my light to shine on you. There is none of that. They illuminate each other, and the emptiness interpenetrate. In other words, then the precepts are like the light of the precious pearl. They illuminate each other. You know the meaning or not? They try to tell you your precept is not isolated. Eh? They are all interdependent.They support each other like the Noble Eightfold Path.、Yeah. So if you keep a precept, that is, if you obey a rule of moral conduct without fail, it emits light. Each precept you keep has light. Each of the 10 major and 48 minor Bodhisattva precepts, which are explained in the Brahmanet Sutta, emits rays of light. Just like the pearls of the Brahmanet curtain. Why are the precious pearls?And brawl in the host. It indicates to us that originally, before we keep the Bodhisattva precept, there are holes. How do we know there are holes? Because there are leaks, also called outflow or asavak, latent tendency outflow. Asavak. Anusayak and asavak. Asavak are very strong outflow. The latent tendency is anusayak. Those are the Pali words. Yet the leaks can be transformed into precious pearl. If you keep a precept, a precious pearl shine. If you break a precept, there is a leak. See? Precept means leakages. You know what is leakages? Your perfection is to accumulate all the perfection in there. The moment you break a precept, there is a leak. So you cannot accumulate. So the leakage can be quite serious. This is just an analogy. The light illuminate each other and the emptiness interpenetrate represent the Buddha Dharma, the mind of the Buddhas, the mind of the Bodhisattva, and the mind of all the living beings. Every mind responding to every other, mind with mind. How do the Buddha realize Buddhahood? It was through the cultivation of the precept. And Bodhisattva as well must cultivate the precepts to become Buddhas. Living beings must also keep the precepts. Then they can cultivate and become Buddhas. All this represents transformation, endless transformation. Thus the title of the Brahmanet Sutta is comprised exclusively of analogy. The first three of the seventh kind of sutta title are called the unitary tree, while the next three are called the dual tree. The first of the three kind of dual title make reference to both person and Dhamma. The Manjushri asks about Prajna Sutta. It's an example, since Manjushri is a person and Prajna is a particular Dhamma. Then the next one is, the next kind of title refer to both person and analogies. The Lion's Roar of the Thathagatagarbha Sutta is an example. The Thathagatagarbha Tathagata is a person, the Buddha, and the Lion's Roar is an analogy. The Buddha's exclamation of the Dhamma is likened to a lion's roar. When the lion roar, the 100 beasts are terrified. The sixth category is, the sixth kind of title is established by reference to Dhamma and analogy. In the heart of the Prajna Paramita Sutta, Prajna Paramita is the Dhamma and the heart is the analogy. Then the last category is, the one remaining variation combines all three unitary element, person, Dhamma, and analogy. The Sutta of the Flower Adornment of the Buddha of Great Expanse, commonly known as Avatamsaka Sutta, is the best example here. Is the example here. This kind of title is said to be complete in one. Great Expanse symbolizes the substance of the Dhamma. The Flower Adornment represents its function. The Dhamma of Great Expanse was cultivated by the Buddha in order to realize Buddhahood. He cultivated the six paramitas and the 10,000 practices and uses the flowering of those causes to adorn the attainment of the supreme fruit, which is Buddhahood. Okay, we finish. So now we come to the next chapter. 4:36. Maybe I just read to you the first part before the commentary. Then you go back and read through the commentary so that next week we can continue. The five categories of recondite meaning. Now I will explain the text of the sutta by means of 8-line verse, which I wrote some time ago. This is Master Xuan Hua, not me. I used them once before to lecture on this sutta. This is the first verse. So this is Master Xuan Hua's explanation. Okay. So he is trying to explain the text of the sutta by meaning of the 8-line verse. So you listen to the first verse. Wonderful wisdom can reach the other shore right now. True mind itself can merge with enlightenment's source. Dhamma and analogy comprise its title, which transcend the relative. Empty of the characteristics of all Dhamma is this substance beyond words. See, it's beyond words. Fundamental non-attainment is its purpose and intent. And by using its power of eradication, the three obstacles are cleansed away. The butter division is determined to be the meaning of the teaching. The maha turning around. This is the prajna vote. So this is Master Xuan Hua's verse to explain the sutta. Then maybe next week when we come, you go back and read through the commentaries. It will help you. Then after that we can continue. Okay, do you want to take a break or you want to continue? If continue, we can have a short meditation. Okay, those who want to take a break, you can go. Those who want to meditate, you can continue. We will start the meditation now. Coming to the meditation. Today, anybody who is new, totally new to the class, anybody, first time, come to this class. Nobody, yeah? Thank you, no problem. Sadhu, I see you. Okay, since everybody is here before, so I don't have to repeat. Hopefully, we can start the meditation straight away. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. Then, can somebody help to off this light or not? Above Kumoy, the middle one. Yes, that one. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Always remember, just relax your body and mind. Silent your mind. Then if you already have trained your mind, you straight away meditate. Don't have to wait. But if you have yet to train, you have to develop some skillful means that are suitable for you. If you need to go through the mind sweeping method again, you can do it. Then you complement it with metta. So this is just to train your mind. Then you start your meditation by anchoring it to the mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati. You can use any skillful means, like chanting, bowing, dynamic meditation, or you can even use the rising and falling of the abdomen to develop the training of the mind. It's up to you. Whatever skillful means that can bring about the training of the mind, use it. Then the posture is not important. It can be any posture, okay? Okay, I will let you start. Then in about maybe 20 minutes, I will ring the bell. Okay, you can start your meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner calmness and mindfulness that you have developed. So try to maintain that trained state of mind that is already in sati. A mind that is trained, that is already in sati with inner awareness and relaxed, is heedful. Such a mind is a meditative mind. It can meditate. So always remember, if you already train your mind, you only need to understand how to use it to cultivate, to develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So with all this understanding, I think you should be able to cultivate even at home or any place, anywhere, anytime. Okay, today made the sutta. You turn to this book, the email compilation that I have given you. Last week I think we stopped at email number 2. Yeah, we stop at email number 2. Okay, today we will continue with email number 3. Okay. This email number 3 is about the meditation. What is meditation to? This one is very useful. Okay, I will quickly go through it. Like I said last week, this was a question that the US, I think somewhere in the States, there is a Buddhist Dhamma site, website. So there was a person who replied to my email number 2. He replied, he said, I think his, you call that what? The short form of his name is what in the email? Naga Shrine. That was the name he used. Okay. I said, hi. He has a name, I forgot already. He replied to me. He replied to me. He said, hi, Brother Teo. I think he just called me. I forgot what they call me. Dhamma greeting, I remember. Dhamma greeting, Mr. Teo. Something like that, I forgot already. I think it's he, Teo. He never used brother one. He said, I have little to add to Teo's excellent response. That was my answer to the first question on email number 2. But he said, I will throw in my 2 cents anyway. Anapanasati started to move when I stopped trying to locate the breath or fix on it. See, this guy understand. Last night when he tried to locate the breath, you know what is he doing or not? He's using the thought to look for the breath, understand or not? Just like you note your rising and falling. You use your thought to note. This guy also used the thought to focus to note the breath. That's why it cannot happen. Then he said, I stopped trying to locate the breath to fix on it. I was aware of it. I missed out that word. I was aware of it in a peripheral way. but not interested in where the sensation was during this or that season. See, sometimes they teach anapanasati differently. Yeah? You heard of some, they ask you to feel the sensation at the nostril, eh? When the air go in and go out. He said, note the sensation. What do you think? Now you understand what is meditation. What do you think? That's why everything you must understand. Then you will not be deluded by it. You will not be foolish. You will not just believe what people say and do without understanding. What do you think? When you know the purpose of your anapanasati is to train the mind like the Buddha said. So you just be aware, understand now? Why you want to note this and note that? Why you want to try to know anything? Just develop the mindfulness. Means what? Breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. Means the breath and the mind move as one. Just like you feel your forehead, you just feel your breathing. Be aware of your feeling, understand now? When you feel, you don't think, understand now? That's how you aware or feel your breathing. Breathing in, you are aware. Means the mind and the breath move as one in harmony. So this person, he came to know after I explained. He said, I was aware of it in the peripheral way, but not interested in where the sensation was during this or that season. The key is to understand that the Buddha is not asking one to do anything in meditation. See? Now he understands. It was a radical departure for me, as I was accustomed to striving of one sort or another, visualization and internal verbal dialogue. See? A lot of people visualize, look for nimitta. Look for kasina, look for this and look for that. So visualization and internal verbalization or dialogue. What am I doing? Is this correct? Is this what the teacher say? Is this what Buddha say? If you do all this, you are not meditating. So you are verbalizing. So visualization and verbalization is going on instead of meditating. Of course, you disguise it and justify what you do. You say the verbalization is contemplation. There, in bracket, he said, as contemplation. And I measure my assumed success. This is what a lot of people do. So this person, this cultivator, learn very fast. He know where he go wrong, he said. I measure my assumed success according to the manifestation of my desired result. What is the desired result? Jhana. Understand? Jhana is abundant, not an attainment. So he come to understand. The 6 R, because this particular website, the monk teach the 6 R. I will explain to you after. Are a very good indication of how to progress. Expectation are hindrance to the natural state. See, he understand. Hope this help. He also want to share. So the 6 R is one of the skillful means that this particular monk, the chief monk, the abbot there, has devised. After he has gone through the Vipassana, the so-called Burmese tradition, and the Buddha's sutta, following the exact wording of the sutta, especially the Anapanasati Sutta, he come to understand it differently. So he said, after 20 over years of practice, he has done the other so-called Vipassana. He totally changed his cultivation. He gave up. Then he started to introduce this, he called it the 6 R, which is initially not bad, like what since you did, not bad. If you follow the 6 R, it can also bring about the trained mind, the calm mind. But as long as you continue to do the 6 R, you are still doing, understand not? You are still within the field of thought, understand not? That's why you cannot break free. You can reach a level like Sun Siu. You can have that, what they call, clarity of mind. You see, the 6 R, I will write on the board. What he actually tried to share is, he said, the first R is recognize. recognize what? When you sit and meditate, what he want you to be mindful of? Recognize that your mind has moved. Understand? That is what he teach. Which is not bad. When you are silent and aware, you recognize. Understand? But I'll explain to you why he actually got caught. But not bad. It's one of the very good meditation skillful means so far I have come across. Because he add in a step, relax. That relax help a lot. So he said, recognize that your mind has moved. Means there is a distraction. You know what is a distraction? Something that disturb you. Because you are supposed to train your mind. Anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then suddenly what happened? A distraction occur. What are the normal distractions? Your mind wander off. Understand? Or there is a pain. Understand? Or there is a thought. Understand? Or you hear sound, consciousness. So there is a distraction. So he said, the moment you recognize that the mind has run, you are no longer with the breathing. Understand? You are no longer training your mind in anapanasati. Means you lost focus. Correct? So not bad, isn't it? He devised a technique that help you recognize that you already deviate. Understand? Why? The deviation is through your distraction. You already deviate. Because your mind got distracted by the memory, by the thought, by the conditioning, by the pain, the sensation that you experience, or the numbness. Understand? So all this is a distraction. So the moment you recognize, what you do? What you do? That's why this monk, not bad. He realized you cannot understand. You immediately want to come back and do. Understand? He said, no. Because this distraction is caused by a craving, by a delusion. Your mind cannot understand. That mind is drawn to it. Understand? The hindrance of mind has arrived. But he didn't say all this. But I'm explaining it to you. He actually want to use it that way. He only uses it the moment you recognize, you need to release. Release what? Release that distraction. Don't go and do something to it. Understand or not? Like that pain. You don't go and suppress it, understand? Or go and do chanting and do something to replace it, understand or not? So that's why he realized you don't do anything. You just release that distraction. After you release, what happened? You are not disturbed by it anymore. Where you let things be. Correct or not? Understand? Because you recognize your mind has moved. There's a distraction. Let's say pain. Okay? So you release your mind means what? Don't go and grasp onto it. Understand? Don't go and hold onto it. Don't go and cling onto it. It's just like what I taught Andy. I say you just know through an understanding that because you are not relaxed, that's why the pain developed. That one is through understanding. Here, there is no understanding yet. He just say, don't go and attach. Don't go and cling. He said, release it. But for us, is we understand, then we relax. Understand now? Then we free. The pain disappear because you know how to relax. Then the stress, the craving is gone. Then the mind returns to its original state. Means it's no longer distracted by it anymore, disturbed by it anymore. But you understand the cause behind. Understand that? Then if you want to understand this body, you must understand how the phenomena come to be. Because you don't know how to relax, you don't know how to maintain the silent mind to be aware, that's why pain arises. It's very natural. So when you understand it, you accept it, you don't react. That's why he used the word release. Then the third one only, he said, after that, relax. Relax. This one is the same. This part, he not bad. He also realized this when he discussed with me later on privately. He also realized this. I said, the key is relax. If you cannot relax, you cannot free your mind. So we relax through an understanding. He relaxed after he released. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to get involved in that distraction. Understand not? But he got one advantage here. You know what he relaxed or not? He realized craving arise because the mind reacted. Then there is a tension in your head, he said. There is a tightness in the brain here, he said. There is a membrane, he said. That membrane try to shrink. And he said there is this tightness there. Very subtle, you cannot feel. So he said learn to relax that one. That's why I already teach you the mind sweeping method. Understand? The first thing is I ask you to relax the brain here. Understand not? Remember? Feel. Any tension, any stress within, relax. Then eye muscle, facial, we do a very thorough one. He only asks people to check the forehead because he realized people think a lot. And this one is not relaxed. But actually not only this one, your facial muscle, other part, because of your pressure or stress at your work environment, your career, your daily life, you have problems of life. All this stress can arise and it is all over your body. That's why you must know how to relax them. So relaxation is key. But he only teach them how to relax the forehead. Understand? But he is a good monk. He came here before Malaysia. I think Sui An, they all know him also during the early days. But he's not bad. He was at Brickfield before. Then recently, I think Penang or what. But don't worry. Don't go and comment or create any misunderstanding, please. He is a good monk. He is now quite popular, I think, because he teach this 6 hours. So what happened is he said, relax. Here he talk about the tension. The tension in the forehead. He said there's a membrane there. You can feel it. Because he has done this a lot. He relaxed a lot. That's why he can feel it is due to that craving, that tension. The mind react and tighten itself. So this one is, he just relaxed the tension in the forehead. But for us, you relax every part. The place where there is pain, you relax. Understand? The whole body, wherever there is tension, stress, or whatever, you just relax it. Understand? So, the first R is to recognize distraction has occurred, then release. Okay? Instead of release immediately, you can actually later on, after you come out of the meditation, reflect and contemplate why this thing happened. Just like what the Buddha teach. Trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. That's why after a while when you understand, it's all due to disharmony, lack of harmony. That's why you are not relaxed. You block your chi flow. Understand? Because the place you cross your leg, the chi get blocked. That's why you have numbness. You have pain. Then sometimes you have all those other related distractions. That if you are quite old, your body go the way of nature, you have rheumatism and all that. Sometimes you sit on a cold floor, you cannot take it. It will cause you problem. Understand that? So all this you have to find out. That's why meditation is not rigid. You have to understand everyone is different. So you must know how to relax wherever it helps you. What I am writing here is what this monk teach. So you make a note of the difference. So after you recognize, you say, you release, then you relax. Then fourth one is what? What is the fourth one? The fourth arm. Huh? What do you do after that? Huh? He asked you to do metta. He said, re-smile. He realized smiling is very important. When you smile, what happens? You relax, isn't it? That's why he relaxed the facial muscle through smiling. Understand? So he said, re-smile. Understand? This is actually to help you relax. If you don't know how to relax, you smile. Understand? When you smile, what happens? Like I teach you the mind sweeping method. When you can smile, there is joy. There is happiness. That's why you got no worry, no tension. You are relaxed. That's why I learned how to smile. And he teach people. Sometimes he tell the student, no need to do anything. For 1 week, go and smile. Smile into everything. Smile with everybody you see. Smile to nature. Smile to everything that come to your mind. Have love. Develop this metta. So he say, actually, this is key, he realized. When you can smile, you are relaxed. Then the fifth one is what? Huh? He said, return. Return to where? Huh? Return to your breathing. Understand or not? Anapanasati. Understand or not? Return to your breathing. Sorry, return to your anapanasati. Or breathing. You know where he go wrong or not? This one. You know what he said, the last one? Anybody know? The last R is what? Repeat. What are you doing when you do this? Your mind, your thought is active, isn't it? You want to do this 6 hours, isn't it? Who is doing? That's why he and Sen Siu same trap there. These are all very good. Very good, actually. But when you repeat, you get into trouble. Why must you do anything? Understand? When you understand already, just relax. Silence your mind. That's it. Finish. But I think initially he wants to help those people because he said, this one you have to continuously do until you understand. That's why he put in repeat. Means go through this over and over again. So it become a, what is it? Mechanical, understand? Like a practice, you keep on practice. Then you don't develop wisdom, understand? Why do you want to repeat all this? Once you have trained your mind, what are you supposed to do? Meditate, understand? Why you going to repeat all this? This is for training the mind, understand? Initial skillful mean, understand? That's why when you understand what is meditation, you don't do foolish thing that people tell you to do. Understand? That's how you learn. You investigate into everything. Don't believe even what I tell you. That's why you go back and check and contemplate. Say, hey, Brother Teo, why you ask me to do this? I find that I don't have to do. Sometimes you can give me a better answer. Then I say, you're very good. Because you found out yourself. You investigate into it. That's how you become wise. Understand not? Because you are unique. You are different. You don't have to follow what I say. You don't have to follow what I do. Understand not? I am unique because I have my own path. You are unique because you have your own path. So different people approach it differently. 84,000 Dhammador. You don't have to be like anybody. Understand not? That's why you can come and tell me, but why must I do all this? Because this one is not suitable for me. Understand? Some people come into meditation totally different. Some they have affinity with this monk, then they can do it. Understand? Like those that have affinity with me, I know, they come, they understand me very fast, because they already learned from me previous life before. But if you are different, you come, I will also know. That's why I can teach you differently. That's why you have to ask me questions, you have to talk to me. Otherwise, I cannot help you. Because you don't want to say anything. When you don't want to say anything, this nature cannot do anything. That's why you ask. If you ask, then I can understand. Then I will know what is relevant and suitable for you. So this one, is it clear now? Huh? With this example, I hope it lets you understand so much better. These are what I call method and technique, skillful means, understand or not? Nothing to do with the meditation yet. It's just the initial training of the mind to be aware, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. After that, use it to meditate. So this one you should replace with meditation. You don't go and do things without understanding. But please, don't get me wrong. Don't go out and say all these things and say, Brother Teo, say wrong. No. I just want to share. Understand? No right, no wrong. Means we just share our understanding. This is how I understand it. I share with you. That's it. Okay? I'm not trying to say anything. Because when you are at this level of understanding, you will understand it this way, you teach this way. It is also right. That's why it's nothing wrong. Understand? It's just like when you are in the primary school. What you understand is addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. That is arithmetic. You are still right. But when somebody come and around and tell you there is such thing as calculus, such thing as differential equation, and the higher maths, you don't go and argue with people and say, no, maths is only this. Then difficult. Understand? Then you got problem, right and wrong. Then we start to argue. No point. I respect you for what you are, for your understanding. Then I will tell the primary school children or what, okay, you are right. Thank you. Because that is what you understand now. But if you want to understand further and learn later on when you go up to a higher stage or a higher secondary school or what, these are the things you will learn. Then if he is willing to understand and learn, he will listen. But if he is so egoic, he is so protective of his teacher or what he know, he is so rigid that he won't listen to you. He said, no, you're wrong. My teacher teach me arithmetic only addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. That's it. He doesn't want to know any more beyond that. That is your choice. Understand? So have an open mind. When you cannot understand, just let things be. Don't comment because you never knew. The other person's wisdom can be higher than yours. Understand? So have an open mind. So when people share with us, we appreciate. Understand? We don't try to argue anymore. If you can prove me wrong, I'm very happy. I learn. Understand? I will not get unhappy over what you say. No. Because if you can prove me wrong, means you have better wisdom than me. And I learn from you, and I am very happy for that. Understand? That's why the sharing is very beautiful. Sharing means what? We respect each other for our own understanding. Then we don't argue anymore. We share means my understanding I share with you. Your understanding you share with me. Then whatever that is good, suitable, you take and use. Whatever that is good and suitable for me, I take and use. This is real sharing. Understand? No more ego. No more arguing. No more trying to be right. Understand? No more trying to glorify your method and your technique or your teacher. Otherwise, you try to monopolize your meditation. If people say your meditation is wrong, you're very angry. Then you want to argue. That's why they got a lot of this argument during the early years. You remember? Samatha and Vipassana. They say Anapanasati is Samatha. Rising, falling is Vipassana. You heard of this before. So, when you don't understand, you end up like that. When you understand, there is no such thing. When you understand what is meditation, then you know different people do different things. Different stage, they do different things. So, there is no such thing as right and wrong. if you understand the Dhamma. Whatever they do at that level, based on that understanding, it is right to them. Understand? So right and wrong is relative. So when you see in another understanding, another level of understanding, whatever that is right down there will be not so right higher up. Understand? What is good to you now when you are still not mature enough, not experienced enough, or the Dhamma, the wisdom not really stable enough, you think this is good, doing good. Understand? But later on when you realize, then you realize, hey, this is not the real good yet. Understand? The real good is without the evil roots, without the what they call intention behind. When you act or do something, let's say generosity, do good, but if your intention behind is what? Because you think there is merits to do there, so you act because of what? Because of your craving for that merit, is there? So that is your greed, is there? Because you want that merit, is there? So when you act with that understanding and thought, you say, hey, yeah, the Buddha say, avoid evil, do good. I'm doing good because this one got merits. Understand? So your action is out of getting that goodness or merit. So the action is based on what? Greed, selfishness. So it's not a pure action. Understand? So that's why during the early days, Bodhidharma, you heard of Bodhidharma? Tapmo. The first patriarch from India, Tamo Zhusi, Bodhidharma. He came over to China. Then the emperor, there was something happened. For 9 years he faced the war. Then later on the emperor came to know he was very good. Because early days, they actually asked him to help out. So he helped out, and the emperor was very happy. Built a lot of temple, monastery, and helped the monk. Then one day he asked this Bodhidharma, after doing so much of these good things, goodness, wholesomeness, how much do you think my merit is? He expect a very good answer there. Because he's the emperor, the whole nation, he really provide for all the monk. And Bodhidharma actually wanted to help the emperor understand. He said, nothing, zero, no merit. Wow, the emperor, very unhappy inside, but dare not say. That's why later on he like cold storage him and write him off. Because to Bodhidharma, he's enlightened. To an enlightened being, the real merit is pure merit. Understand? Merit that is without evil root, without any greed, any selfishness or any delusion. That is the truth. That's why he didn't lie. He said zero. Because your action is based on that merit. Because you were told, if you are very generous as an emperor, if you build monastery, provide for their food and all those things, the merit is very, very high. So because of that, you do. Understand? So your action behind is what? Motivated by what? Greed for the merit. So it's not a pure action. That's why it's not really the good that the enlightened one or the wise one understand. That's why it's relative good. Then sometimes good according to you. Understand? So good according to you may not be good to others. Understand? Especially when you treat your child, your subordinate or your loved ones. Because your standard of good is you are selfish. You want him to obey you. Then you say, good boy. So, good to you, bad for the boy. Because you tell the boy, boy, don't play, don't go out, don't gamble, don't smoke, don't mix with these people. Then if the boy forced to stay back, then you say, good. Good for you. But that boy very angry. Cannot go out, cannot mix with a friend, cannot do this, cannot do that. So, relative. Good and bad, you must be very careful. When you have wisdom, then you understand what is real good. Real good comes from a sincere heart. When you are sincere, no motive, no selfishness, no delusion, no emotion, you have goodness. Like Krishnamurti said, the absence of evil is good. That is what Sakyamuni teaches. So that's why Noble Eightfold Path is what? Right view or right understanding. Condition your right thought, right speech, right action. When your action, speech and thought are right, you are incapable of evil, incapable of negativity. That's why don't try to be good. Be aware. Train your mind to be aware. Make sure no evil root. You are really good. The absence of evil is good. Don't try to be good. That's why you go on anachat. What pan anachat? Ajahn Chah say, don't try to be an arahant. Be an arahant, you suffer. Because you want to be, understand? Because you cannot be an arahant, understand? Arahant is what you think, your concept, your idea, that you already enlightened, arahant. As long as you understand you got no more craving, no more delusion, no more fear, no more suffering, you may be arahant, understand? But when you still have all this, you think you are arahant. That's why you suffer. Then when people come and say, hey, I don't think you are arahant, you can still get angry, you can still do this and do. Then you realize people has pointed out very clearly that you are not what you think you are. You become miserable. That's why he said, don't try to become anything. The moment you become something, there is becoming. There is craving to be. Understand? He know you, he know me, and it's not another. So don't try to become anything. The moment you become something, you are trapped in samsara. You have the egoic mind. You have the five aggregate of form and mind. You arise already. That's why you cannot cease. Then don't try to imagine you enlightened. There is no one to attain. The Heart Sutta already told you. You have to understand all this. Otherwise, you are so gullible. You foolishly believe what people tell you. Okay? What's the time now? Oh, good, huh? Still got half an hour, huh? This time I hope I'm right, huh? Is it correct? I still got half an hour. Good. Wow, means today, after explaining this, I still got half an hour. Very good. Okay, we can finish this one today, huh? Then we continue. So now you understand what these six are. So that's why this person is actually one of the students of this monk. And he is one of the best around there. The best or the second best. He has a lot of wisdom, this guy. From what he wrote, he's not bad. Then he said the six R's are a very good indication of how to progress. His statement is fair there. When you have the six R, you know whether you got tension or not, whether your mind is distracted or not, whether there is heedfulness or not, whether you have trained your mind or not. So that's why the six R is a good indication of whether you progress or not. If you got less distraction, means what? The mind is already trained, understand or not? It can be mindful of the breathing, anapanasati. Once it's trained, don't go and repeat this anymore, understand? What are you trying to do? The first step is to train the mind. After you train, the Buddha say what? Kaya nupasana. What is the second category of practice? No. Vedana is second foundation. The first foundation got six category of practice. After anapanasati, when you train your mind, you're supposed to develop what? Mindfulness of the four posture. Never thought, understand? Then after that, mindfulness of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present mode. These are not taught anyway. That's why you repeat for one. You should say meditate, number six, understand? Then develop the awareness of the four posture, daily mindfulness, sati patana. Then what they call sati sampajana, clear comprehension and mindfulness of daily activity. Then after that, contemplate the four elements, the 32 parts, the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. Then go to Vedana, understand? Then go to Chitta, then go to Dhamma. This is the whole teaching, understand? This part is just to train the mind, understand? That's why people cannot see. And a lot of people, I tell you, they are trapped. They don't know what they are sharing with you and teaching you. the method and the technique, they hold on to it so tightly, they thought that is the real meditation. As long as you follow their instruction, you note this, note that, you think you meditate. You go and note. For 30 years, 40 years, you can still be noting the same thing, using your thought, I tell you. That's why if you don't have wisdom, you don't investigate and find out yourself, you can be trapped for very long. Understand or not? Huh? Okay, clear? Yes, yeah, maybe. No need, because we are all different, understand or not? Every one of us is different, our path is different. For me, I tell you what happened. For me, when I did Anapanasati, actually, initially when I did, I was very powerful because my path, I did this very fast. Then it came to me. Then I was trapped in continuous mindfulness for many years since the university. I thought I already ready. Then I realized my mind, it is only calm and peaceful when my Anapanasati is very strong, when my mindfulness is continuous. Then later I met that Thai monk, Achayana, very good. He was the one that pointed out to me the highest meditation, the real meditation. He just said this word, we choose aware every action and every movement in the present. Then I reflected, why did he say that? I expect him to say something fantastic, we are the highest and the real meditation. Then he just said like that. Then I realized the daily mindfulness. Then I remember the Satipatthana. Because last time I cannot understand why the Buddha asked to do all this. Because that time only, the what is being taught is Anapanasati. And my Anapanasati was very strong, very powerful. Then my mindfulness, that's why my mind like transformed. So that's why I thought, finish, no need to do anything already. But I was trapped there. So when I heard what he say, I made the determination to be aware, to be mindful. Then I realized, when I do that, because I have to release my concentration out and develop the daily mindfulness, I am hardly even 5 minutes mindful throughout the day. Then I got a shock of my life. I like wake up. I said, my God, I have yet to start the real meditation. That's why I reverse everything and I start again. From the awareness, after Anapanasati, I did the four posture. Then I did the Sati Sampajana. Then I realized with this, my understanding come. That's why I start to understand the five spiritual faculty. Sada, Virya, Sati. Because these are the things that come to me. Then when I understand, I skip the four elements and the 32 part. Because my wisdom already there. I break through all this already. Then the 9 stages of 7-3 also I break through. I don't have to do them anymore. I straight away went to Chitta and Vedana. That's why straight away I break there, then the Dhamma Nupassana come. The Dhamma, the six center one, very fast. The moment I silent, sitting as they are. That's why I always say, for those who see, they always see. You understand that? Truth is everywhere there. Yeah? What is truth? The reality is there. And what are the reality of life? The Buddha taught. The three universal characteristics, right? Impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, right? Anicchang, dukkha, anatta, right? So these are everywhere in the midst of nature, in all phenomena, physical, mental, nature's phenomena. So truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. But if you cannot see, you never see. Understand? Because you have not trained your mind. So that's why when I have the silent mind, I start to see. Then one day, suddenly, I start to see everything. Every moment, every instant, the characteristic of nature is everywhere. Then I realize, hey, that's why human beings cannot understand. But they never see. Their mind is never silent. When your mind is completely silent, unmoving, sati samadhi, you see things as they are. And you just keep on awakening to the truth and the reality. That's how all these things can happen. So everyone is different. You do it based on your own understanding. That's why just now I say, whatever I say, you should ask questions. That's why like Engby asked very good. So at least there is condition for me to explain. Then you will know. Everyone is different. For me, my past helped me. I hear something, I understand straight away. Sometimes the person who talk doesn't understand. Like this one, when I read on the internet what they do, I straight away understand what they do. But there are a lot of things that they don't know. They haven't really break into yet. So because of that, this sharing is useful. It will lead you to the understanding that you are what you are, different from others. You don't have to follow what people say. Just like the Buddha, don't believe what I say. You only have to ask two questions. If I follow the Buddha or Brother Teo, will it harm me? Will it harm others? If it doesn't harm you and harm others, then go and try. Understand that? Cultivate it. Then find out. If it's not suitable, use your own understanding, skillful mean. It's like a child, understand that? If you look and observe a child, everyone is different. They are talented in different ways, understand that? Certain child are very quiet, certain child are very active, certain child are very talented in certain things. So if you don't observe, you don't know, as a mother or parent, you're so selfish. They call it the kiasu attitude, Singapore. Because everybody stands for ballet, everybody stands for piano, everybody stands for sing song. Everybody become very good because they go for this extra class. Then you say, boy, you must attend this. Boy, you must attend that. Good for you. But this is what you want. You don't want to observe your kid. He may be talented in other things. So let him develop what he's talented at. If he is not the type for ballet, you send him for ballet, he hate you. If he don't like music, you send him for piano class and organ class. What are you trying to do with your kid? If he like computer, let him play computer. But a lot of parents now very scared. iPad. Day and night, the kid now iPad. Small fellow can play faster than adult. You have to observe them. Then you have to train them and advise them and let them develop their potential through understanding them. It's just like how I teach you. Understand? I have to observe you. I have to listen from you. Otherwise, I become what? Rigid. You know what is rigid? One size fit all. No need to buy a king size one. Go in, all fit. Miss, everybody do this. Understand? You don't do this, don't come to my class. Finish. If you like that, you should finish. How can you teach? Because wisdom is not rigid. Understand? Wisdom is an understanding, and understanding is fluid. Fluid means what? It's a continuous state of flux. Different condition, different time, demand different understanding. You cannot say, hey, last time like that happened, Brother Teo say, advice, do this. You should die on. You can do that. Because at that time when I act, was the condition was like that, I understand it, then I advise like that. But different time, different people, different situation, different environment, different civilization, you advise differently because it's everything is different. The condition is different. And the wisdom can understand. That's why wisdom, I cannot teach you. Because it's something that you have to understand and have. Then you can understand. Understand not? That's why when I observe, I can understand you and the kid. Why? You cannot ask me why. Because this is my wisdom. This is my training. This is what I have cultivated. And you cannot ask why. You might as well go and ask why the Buddha is so wise. You go and ask, why I cannot be like the Buddha? That is a stupid question, isn't it? But the Buddha perfected it for aeons and aeons, 3¾ asankhaya kappas. You know how long or not? That's why he is the Buddha, the fully enlightened one. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, they cultivated so long, they sacrificed so much, they make so strong a vow. That's why they are what they are, understand? That's why they can help anybody who is sincere. They can share and teach, understand? So if you understand this, then you will not be rigid, understand not? Then you will have this wisdom and sensitivity towards your loved ones, your children, or you treat them different now. You will not be last time, like last time, very rigid. Boy, this cannot, that cannot. You go back, you argue with everybody because you have a fixed view. You come to the temple and say, boy, the monk say, keep the precept. Die already, that boy. So all this precept, the boy cannot lie. That boy have problem. Understand? So don't kill. That fellow mosquito bite, he sure whack. He use the mortar, he spray. And you say don't kill. Then one day he caught you, Mama, what are you doing? You shy. That's why you don't be rigid. When you understand, you act differently. You tell yourself, last time when I was a kid, before I know the Dhamma, I also kill mosquito. I also mortin the cockroach. That's why in my meditation, the cockroach came and see me. All this is part and parcel of nature's law. When you don't understand, you make mistake. But be responsible for your mistake. Your karma is such. You reap what you sow. You cannot run. The moment you understand, you better change. If you take it lightly and complacent, means you are heedless. You sure suffer. Okay? We go on. In another 15 minutes. Okay, I finished this. Okay. Then he said, expectations are a hindrance to the natural state. So you know what? Expectation is a hindrance to the natural state. You expect your meditation to be good. Before you come, you say, wow, I already trained my mind. I have this good meditation. I already understood. I already have the ability to meditate very well. So you come with a lot of expectation. Then suddenly, the Dhamma is such, it want to test you, make you miserable. You sit, you cannot concentrate, you cannot become peaceful. Then sloth and torpor keep on coming. You never had that for a long time. Right? Then suddenly like that, you become miserable. Because you don't understand. It can come and test you. It's a test. You accept that reality and don't react, you break through. The shift of consciousness will come. Understand? That's why don't expect anything. Just silence your mind and do. Then let the phenomena tell you the story. Let the understanding arise. Don't go and use your memory and your thought to recall and, oh, is this what the Buddha say? Is this the inside knowledge that the book say? You should finish. Because you have a lot of expectation. Then you expect yourself to do well, especially in the office. You expect to be promoted. They promote somebody else, not as good as you. How you feel? You become miserable, isn't it? Unhappy inside. Isn't it? That's why don't expect anything. Just accept the reality of the moment and move. Okay, we go on. Then I reply to him. I say, hi. I address him and the rest, hi and all. Just to share a similar past experience regarding all these meditation questions or doubts. I was trapped in the same way, see, I told them. Like most meditators who always want to know how to meditate. Instead of understanding what is meditation, that is, which method or technique or teacher is better? And after deciding on the method and the technique or the teacher to follow, we will go on and ask, where do we fix our attention or mindfulness or awareness? And how do we do the noting and meditation, etc., etc.? Very common is that. Then, not knowing that, these are doubt. Understand or not? Created by thought to delude us, and doubt are actually one of the five mental hindrances of mind. That's why when you don't understand, when you have doubt, you keep on asking, what must I do? You wanna answer. Means what? You don't want to find out. You don't want to investigate. You want to believe, isn't it? That's where the meditator has this doubt problem. Then after that, what happened? As mental hindrance will hinder the mind from entering the meditative state, it will be very difficult to develop the meditation effectively. if there are these doubts. Instead, one should develop the five positive mental or spiritual faculty of faith, sadda, and virya, followed by sati, samadhi, and panya to counter this hindrance of mind. I also came to realize later, just give me a minute, eh? Sorry, huh? Yeah. Okay, we continue, huh? I also came to realize later that these questions are all not so relevant because they are not the handful of leaf as taught by the Buddha. This one is very important, huh? So when you understand what is meditation, you will be very, very focused, understand or not? You are not distracted by all these questions, understand or not? The method and technique is not important, understand? Then you will be very focused. Means you train your mind to develop the five spiritual faculty to understand the Four Noble Truths. That's it. So this one, I also came to realize later that these questions are not so relevant because they are not the handful of leaves as taught by the Buddha. Hence, I started to reverse my inquiry or questioning to focus only on the handful of leaf by inquiring into the following. You see how I reflect and contemplate. Why did the Buddha summarize all of dukkha as the attachment or grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind under the First Noble Truth final summary? Hence realizing the importance of understanding the five aggregate of form and mind and how clinging and attachment to them comes to be, and how it conditions your suffering. Correct or not? When you inquire, you straight away understand. Yeah, why did the Buddha summarize the final summary? In short, he said, all of suffering that he has described, 1 to 7, the first 7 conditions, arise because of attachment and grasping to the five aggregate of form and mind through your delusion. Where you don't understand what this five aggregate is, your form and mind. You think they are real. You think you are what they are. That's why you attach, you cling. You cling to this form, what happened? You worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. That's why you have suffering. You have misery. Understand? You have problem with this form, where you think it's you. But when you have the wisdom, you don't have to. You can break free. Then when you attach to feeling, again, you have problem. Understand? You create the duality, like and dislike. Pain, ill will, understand not? All this is you create. Sensation is just a sensation, understand not? If your mind don't react, there is no pain, understand not? Thing is just the way it is. It's just a sensation. But I label it as pain because I don't like it, understand not? Aversion. That's how aversion come to be. The hindrance was never there, you created it, understand not? So now you understand, you know how to break free. So when I understand this five aggregate is the problem, what must I do? I must understand what this five aggregate of form and mind is. That's why I taught you all last time the two aspects. When I started, remember? The first aspect is as a human being. Physical body, physical form, and the mind, the four aggregate. The second one is the mental one. Through perception, you bring the external form into the mind. There's like every moment of sense or consciousness, there is also the five aggregate. These two aspects, when you understand, then you can put to test what the Buddha tell you. If I attach to the five aggregate of form and mind, like just now I told you, the first aspect is physical body. What happened? Do I suffer? You suffer, isn't it? Because you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Then you attach to external form. Do you suffer? What are external form? Your loved one is external form, isn't it? Your property, your prized possession, your wealth is all external form, isn't it? If you attach to them, do you suffer? You worry about them getting hurt, isn't it? You worry about losing them, isn't it? Because you think you own it. That's why you attach and cling to all this. you suffer. And perception that brings in all this external form is actually a mental aggregate. So when you attach to what you perceive, you also suffer. The second aggregate. Understand now? The third aggregate is, just now I mentioned, feeling. Understand now? You attach to feeling, you suffer. Then you attach to what you think. Do you suffer? Your views and your opinion is all from your sankhara. Isn't it? That's why you become miserable. You have been rigid. You take side. Understand now? You want to glorify your own religious belief or religious labor. That's why you can argue with other people. You want to be right. So all this is your sankhara. Then you attach and cling to what you see, what you hear, all this consciousness. That's why you suffer. Beautiful form, craving, sensual desire. Fearful or ugly form, or form that remind you of the past sadness and misery, you become miserable. You are so fragile and so vulnerable. You become affected so easily by what you hear, what you see, and what you think. All of a sudden, your happiness and joy just shattered. That's why I say living being without the Dhamma, they are very fragile, very vulnerable, easily hurt, easily become miserable. If you understand this, you better wake up and make haste in cultivating, training your mind, developing the wisdom to free yourself. Otherwise, you suffer. The first noble truth is very powerful. Don't wait till when you confront them, then you become miserable. Okay? I go on. Huh? Let me finish it. Huh? Sorry, another 5 minutes. Okay. Then the second inquiry is, why did the Buddha say via his Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, his first sermon, that not until he himself had understood the Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to become the Sammasambuddha? And why is the understanding of the Four Noble Truths under his three turning and 12 mode so important? And how by understanding the three turning and the of the Four Noble Truths can lead to realization of the three type of correspondent wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then I told them, this had helped me a lot, and I hope it can be of similar help to you all, by and with metta always. Then I end my email. So go back, reflect and contemplate, then develop your own wisdom and understanding. This is very useful. Then next Sunday we will go to email number 4. This is very important. The three turning on the Four Noble Truths. You go back and read. If you don't understand, you ask. Okay? Because this one can give you a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom came to me through this. The first turning, the second turning, and the third turning. So you have to develop this. Okay? So we end. Okay. As usual, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we invoke the blessing for the country. Then after that, maybe we end. You make your aspiration and we end. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itavata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Okay, transfer of merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. อิดังเมญะทินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาเทโย Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and may they all to be well and happy. Okay, invoking the blessing for the country. Devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hito cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season, and may there be a rich and good harvest, and may the world prosper and become peaceful, and may the government of the day and the ruler of the day be righteous. Then your aspiration, Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu.Yawa Nivana Patiya. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones, the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin and all.